Hello, and welcome to our Children's Rights in Action podcast series. Here at Children's Parliament, we believe that children should grow up in a world of love, happiness, and understanding. Our mission is to inspire greater awareness and understanding of the power of children's human rights, and to support the implementation of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, the UNCRC, into Scots law. We're looking forward to sharing this with you through our conversations. Today we want to focus on how we make children's rights real by sharing with you a conversation we had with the staff from Early Years Scotland who run the Fathers Programme in Berlinney and Lomas prisons. This conversation was held in partnership with Katanak during our Early Years project.
Hi, my name is Tracy Dougherty and I'm an Early Years Project worker with Children's Parliament working in secondment from Early Years Scotland. The following conversations took place between myself and three Early Years practitioners from Early Years Scotland who are based in Scottish prisons as part of the Katanak Trust's Growing with Rights programming. These practitioners give insight into how children's rights can be implemented within prison visits and how they work to help families to develop their understanding of these rights. In the following extracts from our conversations, you will hear them discuss how their practice supports the importance of relationships, culture and ethos, as well as children's agency, their awareness and understanding of their rights and rights language, and the importance of the practitioner in facilitating this. The five crucial pillars which capture a children's rights-based approach to early years practice, and why it is a way of being. It is our hope that you too will identify some of your own practice within these pillars, and through our Growing with Rights resources, feel more confident in being able to identify a children's rights-based approach in editing.
Hello, I'm Karen Mackay, Early Years Practitioner for Early Years Scotland. I deliver the Fathers Programme and Learning Together through Play sessions in a prison setting.
Hi, I'm Leanne Edmonds. I'm an Early Years Practitioner with Early Years Scotland. I deliver Fathers Programme and Learning Together through Play sessions in HMP Berlinney and HMP Castlehanley.
My name's Angela Phillips and I'm the Coordinator of the Early Years Scotland Family Visitor Centre at HMP Lomas.
At Children's Parliament, when we talk about children's human rights, people often ask, what about responsibilities and boundaries? Children's rights, like all human rights, are unconditional. This means we cannot take away rights from children because they have not fulfilled certain responsibilities. But it doesn't mean that we cannot agree on some boundaries with children that will help respect and protect their rights. Now let's hear Early Years colleagues talk about children's human rights and boundaries in a prison setting.
Do you think it's important to start off the dad's programme or the father's programme with that and explaining children's rights to dads and having those conversations about children's rights with them?
It's a really good starting point, and I think it's about helping them to understand that yes, children have these rights, but they still need boundaries. A lot of the parents think, like, because they're in prison, they kind of think, well, I'll just let my child do what they want because I'm compensating for being away from them and this whole situation. But then you're going to talk later on in the programme about how children need boundaries. They need to learn what's right and what's wrong, and how, what we need to be responsible citizens. So it's helping them understand that, that yes, they have the right to do that, but we can't just let them do whatever they want. They still need to they still need to learn, they still need to have those packages, and they need you to be the ones to teach them that and to help them understand that yes, I have this right, but because I've got that right doesn't mean I can just go off and do whatever I want, and it doesn't, because they need to consider that other people have rights too. So I think it's a really good learning for not only the dads, you know, but they can go back to their children and support them that way as well.
I was just going to say, I do remember one example of the opposite of what I've just said was a dad who was amazed that children had rights, their own rights, and actually said, do you think my children already know about that?
and he wanted more photocopies of the handout to gift to his three children to make sure that they knew about their rights, because he didn't know if anybody had taught them, because he didn't know about them.
And
so that's quite interesting, that he really wanted to say to them, oh, I need them to know about it. I don't know if they know about it. I'll phone them tonight and ask them. So that was quite an interesting one.
But as you said earlier, that might tie into the whole, if they have had bad experiences themselves when they were younger, if they weren't aware of their rights, you know, when they were younger, then that maybe would have helped them. So maybe they're thinking to themselves, oh, if my children know what their rights are, maybe they won't end up in the same situation. Maybe they'll be able to, you know, speak up for themselves and understand.
Uh-huh, maybe they'll find an avenue that where they can say, but surely I have a right to change my mind, mm-hmm. or to have this done differently. So you get lots of different people. But I think rights is a good place to start with. Good level of.
When you're working with the younger ones, like particularly the early years, I'm thinking, so what's it like for them? Because as you said, a lot of them think, I'm assuming they're just coming to see dad at work. Not all of the, especially I'm thinking like 3, 4, 5 year olds, they won't know dad's in prison. So if they're thinking they're coming to see dad, are they coming in thinking this is a play area for them then, the visitor centre? Or are they aware of where they're going all the time? And how challenging is that to try and give them agency in that space then when they know, you know, what they're there for?
It is challenging, because until you've had a conversation with the child and had a conversation with the parent, your presumption always is that we don't use the word prison, we don't use the word officer. You know, they're coming in to the visitor centre, because effectively, regardless of what that building is, they're visiting it. They're only up for a visit, mm-hmm. as they would go to a visitor centre at a museum. If they were in a cafe, they're visiting it. So for us, it's very much visitors. So we've got very minimal HMP information. We're looking at, especially with the early years, we're looking at incorporating Ralph, the Early Years Scotland dog, as our mascot in the centre. So looking at, you know, especially with the very youngest children coming up, and they will then get used to seeing Ralph there. So they'll be coming into the visitor centre. Yes, they're coming to see dad or granddad or whoever it is they're coming to see. They're also coming up to see Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph's an element of that there. Some children, the very youngest of children, chances are, don't understand where they are. However, have worked with dads in the past who are maybe serving second, third sentences, and their children came to visit them previously when they were very, very young. And dad has left prison thinking, they'll never know. I spoke to one dad in particular who, in for a second sentence, his daughter was now 9, and she walked into the prison visit room and she said to her dad, I've been here before. And her dad's heart sank, because the last time she was there, she was 3. But she remembered. She remembered when she came in. So for as much as we like to think, you know, they go on and they don't remember, potentially you've got that re-traumatisation. So when the very youngest children, our ethos is to make it the very best experience that it can be. That's why we have early years staff there, to make it that safe, secure, more fun environment, so that they come in and they feel that they've got a trusted member of staff, they've got somebody that they can ask questions to, and they've got a much more feeling of a safer environment.
So you think a lot of it's about building relationships with them as well?
Absolutely.
Is it important?
Absolutely. Very important. And at first, very similar to work I've done previously with children in community settings and primary school settings, in that, you know, some children come in and you'll get the whole life story on the first day. You know, somebody will come in and, you know, they can be a bit nervous, a bit apprehensive, but I would genuinely say very quick relationship building. They see you as an early years staff member. They see you as that go-to person, and within a few sessions they're casting spells on you and all sorts.
And what about when you're working with the parents as well? Is it difficult? Is there any challenges when you're discussing things about children's rights and why it's important children have rights? And do you have any challenges or barriers to that? You know, does anybody ever push against it? Or
children's rights can be tricky within the prison setting, because the prison setting, especially when it comes to visits, the focus is on security. And Scottish Prison Service are there for security. We're there at Lomas, we're after the secure line. So therefore, we don't have the luxury of people being able just to walk in. To get to us, they have to be processed through as a visitor. So it is a lot more challenging, because they do have to present ID. They do have to say, they don't necessarily have to be there for a visit, but they have to present ID and say, I'm coming in to the visitor centre. That can be a challenge, because the staff are there for a security purpose. So they can be like, right, okay, well, you know, you need to take your shoes off, you need to put your jacket through, you know, no mobile phones, all of that kind of thing. And then when they're coming through to us, the rights, that's dead hard to explain. So the rights, it's difficult because they still do have the same rights, but they're buying into the expectations and procedures in there. So it's up to us at the visitor centre to ensure that the rights of those children are still met. So it doesn't matter that they're in a prison establishment, they still have the same rights as they would if they were at nursery, or as if they were at playgroup, or if they were in their house. And a lot of the time we can come up with challenges, because, you know, we'll be saying that, you know, the rights of the child, they have to go to school, they have to go to nursery. So during COVID, the virtual visits, which was something they introduced, where those in custody could have a screen chat with their families in their house. But a lot of these visits were done in the mornings. So children were at school and children were at nursery. So we had a lot of families saying to us, well, the only way that they can have a virtual visit, because there was none at weekends, was to keep their kids off school. So we challenged that, because we were like, we need to have them after school. We need like a, sorry, we need like a 4 or 5 o'clock one. So therefore, for a visit, a virtual visit to be after school would be more inclusive to everybody. So yes, adults can take time off their work. Adults can have like their lunch hour at a different time to facilitate that. A child can't. You can't go into a nursery and say, can I just borrow them for an hour? You know, that's too much to do that, to take them out of there, to do that, to then go back in. They can't cope with that, and it's not fair on them. I'm glad to say that has now been changed, and the virtual visits are now all in afternoons, and there's one in the evening, and they're also running at weekends. So it's much more inclusive. But there is a challenge of staff and officers where it comes to rights of the child and what we would like to see running an establishment and what their vision of what the establishment has to be seen to run.
Is there any barriers or challenges when you're trying to have a rights-based approach in a prison setting?
I think the whole environment is very challenging for children's rights, because you are working alongside and within an environment that doesn't necessarily have children's rights at the forefront of their everyday activities. But whereas I would like to think that, you know, as practitioners working in there, we do, and we can see where they're, where things are very difficult for the children, and so hopefully we're like a buffering system against that, you know, making them feel really welcome and just doing all that we can to make it sure it's quite comfortable, and that a lot of the play and the things that we're putting out are making the children, you know, feel relaxed with their family, because obviously at the end of the day they're not there to visit us, they are there to visit their family members. So we are, you know, putting out all the activities and resources that really get the family engaged together. So I would say that we're using all of the resources and ourselves to, as you know, leading the way in front of other, you know, staff that we work alongside that may well have other their own agendas, you know, with security, etc., that they're looking out for.
Yeah, I think it's good to acknowledge what SPS do have in place. So for children entering into family visits, they do have a strict security plan where anybody that's applying for them has to go through a social work check. So that means that in these visits, the children are able to move around with their parent. So they have to then apply to get that. And then that is sent out to either internal or external social work. And they have to await that to be approved before they're allowed to attend these visits. And that just keeps children safe. And it's then agreed by a manager in the prison, and that means they can get them on a regular basis, which is quite good.
No, that is good. So basically they're, yeah, as you're saying, the staff's priority obviously is security and safety, but in the same respect, they're still maintaining that children's right to be safe.
Yeah.
And what can be a teen at heart and what can be an unsafe environment. And again, so when the children come into the settings, especially the younger ones, how much awareness have they got of like where they are?
For the very young ones, they don't have... Every environment, every prison environment is very different. It's very set up. Certainly where I'm based, we have a soft play. We have a special visits room, which is for children. So there's plenty of toys. It's very, you know, there's nice sort of paintings on the wall and things just to soften it a little bit.
And it does help to make it more inviting. It makes it more inviting, and it makes it that it certainly, you know, you're trying to see it through the children's eyes. So if you imagine for example, a 3-year-old coming into that environment, what are they met with? Well, as long as they're met with, you know, adults that are, you know, welcoming them in, and the environment's all, you know, geared towards them, the soft play, the all the appropriate resources and toys and, you know, the nice colours. So it's more inviting.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the majority of younger children just think that dad's at work. That's what they're told. And it makes it easier for them. When I work with dads in the programme, I often say to them, you know, well, when your children get to a certain age and they can read and they can ask questions and when they can Google... You maybe want to be honest with them before it gets to that point. Otherwise, they could feel a bit upset that you haven't spoken to them, that you've lied to them.
Does that ever come into the conversation then when you're discussing like children's rights with dads about their right to know?
Yes.
Where dad is? And how
not all the time, it depends what age their children are, but quite often that is something that will come up. And, you know, and again, it is a good discussion because, you know, obviously most parents, if they haven't told their children where they're visiting, when you speak to the parents, it's because they want to protect the children. Mm-hmm. And that's a really valid, valid point. But when you scratch a little bit deeper and you continue that conversation with them, then, you know, you start to talk about the relationships that they've got. And, you know, obviously we are trying to help these families maintain those relationships. So when we talk about the fact that they're setting out to protect the children, but when they really think about it, then they maybe start to think, oh, actually, maybe he, she does have the right to know. And in a way, that's a good conversation for parents to start having, because they then start to see it as, well, this isn't just about me. This is about, you know, that my, this is my child's story as well. And so it's a good opening up.
Yeah, it's a good starter.
It's a good starter conversation.
This work is funded by the Catanach Trust and is part of the Legacy of the Year of Childhood, a year-long programme of events which sought to spotlight examples of good rights-based practice in early year settings. This podcast is shared as part of the Catanach Trust's Growing with Rights programming, alongside a series of other resources to help you identify good rights-based practice as a way of being.
Thank you ever so much for listening to today's episode. If you'd like to learn more about our work, please visit www.childrensparliament.org.